If there's anybody that needs to make an announcement, you can make your way to the front, and then we'll let you come on up in a minute. A few things. You know what I'm going to do? I don't know exactly which ones they want to announce, so I'll let you guys go first, and then I'll talk about stuff after that.
Good morning. I want to draw your attention to the page where it says inviting women of all ages to the women's Sunday school class. We finished a Beth Moore study, which took a long time, done a little bit of prayer time and sharing time over the last while. And next Sunday, we're going to start a women's Bible study called Kingdom Women. It's an online video series through Right Now Media. We're going to explore that a little bit. Just want to extend a hearty welcome to any of the women. Come join us. This one has no homework. Just will be studied during the week, so bring a pen and paper to take some notes. And there'll be some great discussion on what it means to be a kingdom woman. Thank you.
Quick 30-second blurb on Eagle's Wings. Had a meeting, a conference call meeting yesterday morning, including people from Vancouver, Ottawa, Uganda, States, Rosedown, and talked about some of the prayer requests, some of the victories that are being made. One of the things that they are currently enrolling just over 500 kids for school. That place is taking in a lot of the community. And they're trying to buy some shoes for everybody, and they've got enough cash for about 200 pair. They need about just over 200 pair more that they need. They're about $18 a pair. You guys are interested in that. That's all good. Bill and Ann's, one of their adopted sons, Regan, he is, I don't know if you remember him, he had a great big tumor. It almost looks like he's malnourished, but he's not. He has a great big tumor. Doctor wanted to quit chemo. He's got the doctor said it wasn't doing anything. They think there might be a little bit of a softening on one part. So I would ask for prayer for little Regan. He is 7, 8, happiest kid around, doesn't think that anything's wrong with him. In his mind, rides his bike, he's so happy. But the doctor wants to quit treatment, and then the result doesn't look good. But if you pray for him, I would really appreciate that. Thanks.
Just like to announce that Nick Dreger and Nikki Rempo would like to publicly announce their intention of marriage for June 16th, 2018. Nick is the son of Jack and Ann Dreger of Gretna, and Nikki is the daughter of Doug and Nancy Rempel of Clearwater. We as a congregation want to wish you God's blessings as you make plans for the celebration, as you make this commitment to one another in the presence of God and fellow witnesses. God's blessings to you.
Woohoo! Other announcements in your bulletin, you can take a look at that. There's a workshop at the Gretna Bergtaler Church if you're interested on April 21st. There's some information there. And then there's a few other things as well that you can look into. For youth this week, what we'll be doing is this Wednesday is a Bible study night, and we've got Pembina Valley Bible Camp is sending some people out, and they're going to do a little bit of sharing with us and hang out with us for the evening as well, which should be good. For the call to worship today, please turn to the center of your bulletin. There's a nice section there labeled Call to Worship. I'll read the non-bolded section, and if you can respond with the bolded section, that will be what we'll do. This is the day that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Celebrate, O church, our victorious King.
As we gather, we remember his deeds.
Celebrate, O church, our glorious Lord.
As we gather, we bow our hearts.
Celebrate, O church, the Savior of all.
As we gather, we praise his name.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
I'd like to just spend some time in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross and to rise again, to take care of our sins and to bring us back to relationship with you. Father, we lift up our prayers for all those in care homes, all those who are sick, all those who are struggling. God, we pray that you would give them what they need, be it healing or provision or strength to endure. Father, we thank you for your goodness toward us and for the gift of Jesus. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Call up the worship band.
Well, welcome here, and good morning. We're going to start with When You Walk Into the Room, and a lot of these songs might be less familiar to you guys, but I think for the most part you know most of them. And please rise and sing with us as we just begin to worship God this morning.
Starts to tremble at the light that you bring, and when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
Jesus, we
love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
Now we're going to be singing Good, Good Father.
Stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but searching for answers, only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. In all of your ways, you are perfect. In all of your ways, you are perfect. In all of your ways, to us, you are perfect. In all of our ways, you are perfect. In all of your ways, you are perfect. In all of your I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, 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 love. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Thank you. You can please be seated.
I'll just call up the ushers for the offering. Thank you, Josh. A couple of announcements I actually forgot before, I'd like to just draw attention to. Next week, we're doing a celebration for Tenley and Nettie having finished their treatments, and so you're all welcome to come to that, and feel free to invite your friends, I think, too. There'll be a noon meal afterwards, which will be, I've heard we're having cornflakes. That's what Rudy told me, just cornflakes and what was the other thing? I don't remember, but it'll be good. Yeah, so. Make sure you bring pineapple for Rudy. No, just kidding. No, it'll be a good meal. The other announcement I wanted to draw your attention to was yesterday was Raven Penner's birthday. I don't think she's here this morning, is she? No, but yesterday was Raven's birthday, and today actually is Austin Penner's birthday, and so keeping them both in your prayers, as Austin's still at Agassiz, would be good to put up a prayer for him today, because it's probably pretty hard to be there on your birthday as well. Yeah, let's pray. Creator God, your goodness toward your people is unmatched. Your grace toward those who were once your enemies, unfathomable. Your love shown to us all is unprecedented. May we reveal the truth of who you are by the reality of who we are as your people. Thank you for bringing us into your family and for providing for us so well. Thank you, Father, for the gifts that people brought today, and we just ask that you would accept those as an offering to you. We thank you for your goodness toward us. Amen.
I invite you to stand if you want, and we're going to sing Here I Am to Worship. Mm-hmm.
stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Now we're going to be singing a bit of a new song. I believe Katrina sang it for Offertory once, and so I don't know how well that'll be in your memory, but it's called Defender. And for me, this song, it really puts back into perspective just where we stand in here, and that God goes before us, and yeah, he goes before us, and it's his way that's better. And yeah, it's just really a way to put our perspective back to where it should be. And so yeah, I invite you to just sing along with the words if you can, and also just listen to the words.
You go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. You come back with the head of my enemy. You come back and you call it my victory. You go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. Your love becomes my greatest defense. It leads me from the dry wilderness. And and all I did was praise, and all I did was worship, and all I did was bow down, and all I did was stay still. Hallelujah, you have saved me, so much better your way. Hallelujah, great defender, so much better your way. You know before I do where my heart can seek to find your truth. Your mercy is the shade I'm living in. You restore my faith and hope again. And all I did was praise, and all I did was worship, and all I did was bow down, and all I did was stay still. Hallelujah, you have saved me, so much better your way. Hallelujah, great defender, so much better your way. And when I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces, you put me back together. You are the defender of my heart. When I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart. Hallelujah, you have saved me, so much better your way. Hallelujah, great defender, so much better your way. And all I did was praise. All I need to do was worship. And all I did was bow down. All I did was stay still.
Song Here by the Water, nice classic song that most of you probably know, and yeah, just have some fun.
Mm-hmm. soft field of clover, moon shining over the valley, joining the song of the river to the great giver of the great good. As it unfolds me, somehow it holds me together. I realize I've been singing, still it comes ringing clearer than clear. Here by the water, I'll build an altar to praise Him. Out of the stones that I found here, I'll set them down here, rough as they are. Knowing you can make them holy, knowing you can make them holy, knowing you can make them holy. I think a yearning has kept on returning to move me down roads I never have chosen, half the time frozen, too numb to feel. I know it was stormy, I hope it was for me a learning. Blood on the road wasn't mine though. Someone that I know has walked here before. Here by the water, I'll build an altar to praise Him. Out of the stones that I found here, I'll set them down here, rough as they are. Knowing you can make them holy, knowing you can make them holy, knowing you can make them holy. Here by the water, I'll build an altar to praise Him. Out of the stones that I found here, I'll set them down here, rough as they are. Thank you.
I will be reading from Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 to 9. And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves stones from the here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. When Joshua called the 12 men whom had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, and Joshua said to them, "Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you and your children, ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? When you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spoke, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who spoke before, where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day.
Is this on? Ooh, nice. This morning, we're going to do a little bit of sharing, and we want to talk about I want to talk a bit about altars and celebrating and the importance of those two things. I want to encourage you, church, that God is at work in our lives. He is at work in the lives of our young people. He's at work in the lives of our little older young people. And God is at work in the really, really young people. And so God is at work in our church. And it's exciting to hear the stories of what he's doing, to hear of how he is at work. And we need to remind each other of these things. He's at work in the experiences of our everyday and in the experiences that we have once a year, once in a while, or once in a lifetime. Our job is to remember the ways that God is at work in our lives, the ways that he's been at work in us and through us. I'm amazed at how quickly I can forget the amazing things that God has done and the things that God does. This past week was Easter, and our Sunday morning service helped us to remember the sacrifice that Jesus paid to free us from the bondage of sin and the gift that he offers us of new life with him. It's so easy to become distracted by the everyday workings of life that we forget the amazing gift that he has given us. Just this past week, Cassie and I were at home, and one of our neighbors dropped by who we hadn't met before. And she came by, and she gave Cassie a plate of cookies and chocolates with a note attached. And she said, "Hey, I'm just one of your neighbors, and I figured I'd come by and just wanted to meet my neighbors. And so happy Easter. See you later." And she kind of ducked away and went on her way. So we read the note that she gave us, and her note was a story of God's goodness toward her, Just this past winter, she'd been in a near accident, and it got her thinking about life and thinking about things and how precious this life that we have is. And I'm reminded also of the tragic accident in Saskatchewan with the Humboldt Broncos and their bus hitting a semi just recently. We need to keep them in our prayers and their families and their town, because that's a huge loss. It's a big thing. But she wrote this note to us, and she wanted to just tell us of the hope and the joy that she had in her Savior. And she went around giving this to all the neighbors in the hopes that if there's somebody who doesn't know Jesus on our street, that they would hear and that they'd have somebody to talk to. And she left her name and her phone number and her address there too, so if we want to go for coffee or chat with her, that we could do that. And I think that's just a really good example of a way to remember the things that God has done for us, and also to share that with somebody else who might not know the goodness of Jesus, might not know the goodness of God. And so I want to encourage you, if you have stories like that, if there's things that the Holy Spirit's nudging you to do in your life, take those opportunities and see what happens, see what God will do. Yeah, there's something significant about sharing our significant experiences that we have with God with others. There's something about it that almost cements them in our memory, helps us to remember them longer and better. And the Israelites, as we read in Scripture, they actually had a way of remembering things too. What they did often is they would build altars. And in the Scripture that Jonah read, thanks for doing that, Jonah, he did that on short notice because Cassie and I accidentally double-booked her and she isn't able to be here this morning, but he was willing to do that, so I appreciate that. But the story that he read, the Israelites had just gone through the Jordan River. This isn't the first time God split the waters. It's actually the second time he did that. And they go through the water, and afterward Joshua says, okay, now go down to where those guys are standing with the ark, pick up some rocks, and we're going to build an altar to the Lord. And I'm sure he had to pick guys like Walter, because those rocks probably weren't small. So they picked up these big rocks, and they brought them over, and they built this big altar as a remembrance, not just for them, but for generations to come. This is what God has done. God did this. God carried us through the waters. And the interesting thing about this story is that it's the second generation of Israelites. All the older ones, they had been declined from going into the promised land. And so this was God doing for them what he had already done for the Israelites and reminding them, this is who I am. I am a God who moves the water so you can walk through it. And that's amazing. And so they set up that altar as a remembrance. And so this morning, what we want to do is we want to do some sharing. These three amazing young people have consented to be up here in front of all of you and to put themselves in a vulnerable spot. But they went on a trip this spring break, and they want to tell you a bit about it. I've got some questions for them just to make it a little bit easier and clearer to come up with stuff, because some of them didn't take the time to prepare that they could have, maybe. But that seems to be a classic thing. I remember when I was a youth and Dave would ask me to come up here and share about SOAR, and I'd be like, oh yeah, sure, I'll share. The morning of, I'd be like, yeah, it happens. It's all good. Thank you for your grace toward us. SOAR Heartland is something that has been going on in the north end of Winnipeg and all over southern Manitoba, as teams come from southern Manitoba and all around to partner with different ministries in Winnipeg. And they've been doing it for, I think it's 15 years now. That's pretty amazing. So I'm going to ask some questions and we're going to hear some stories. It'll be good. But I'm going to just relate that to the altars for you for a second here. We're doing this because we want to remember. And I think one of the important things for these young people is to share this with others, because it'll help them to remember it for years to come, hopefully without the nervousness in the future. But yeah, okay. So question one, describe SOAR Heartland in 10 words or less.
I did it in 7. I said intensely focused pursuit of God and growth.
An experience where you learn about yourself, your team, and God.
An
an intense and crazy 10 days of loving and learning about God.
They did pretty good. That's nice. You make it sound so, I don't know, so flowery, so official. It's good. All right, so the first thing that happens during SOAR is orientation weekend, and they take the first, is it 2 or 3 days? 3 days to get oriented to kind of, first of all, what they do is they work on their personal relationship with Jesus, I think, and some other stuff as well that I'm going to ask them to tell us what happens.
Okay, so on Friday we do a thing called a learning tour, where the first time SOAR people, they go on a tour of the North End, and they go to different places, like learning about different problems in the North End, like poverty and all that kind of stuff. And then, since we were all second or third time going to SOAR, we go to a more focused thing. So me and Shania went to a poverty-focused workshop. Josh, which one did you go to? Gangs. And so we did, like, focused things on problems.
So on that Saturday, it's a team day where you get to go with just your team and just bond. So I really like that day. You get to learn a lot about your team and just really connect before you go into the ministry phase.
Sunday, personally, for me, was my most favorite day of SOAR because I really had a really deep connection with someone. Sunday, we go to CMU because you can't be at the church because they have church services. So we pack up in the morning and head to CMU, and we go have a guys-girls separate worship time. So me and Cynthia went somewhere, and then Josh went somewhere else. And the person that spoke at the girls' session, her name is Sarah, and she talked about her dad's journey with cancer and how when she found out, her parents basically said exactly what my parents said when I had found out about my mom's cancer. They said to just do what you're doing and have fun. Because she was on a road trip, and yeah, her parents didn't want her to leave the road trip early. And like when I found out about my mom, then my parents were like, well, no, go on SOAR, have a good time. And if you want to come home, then you come home. But yeah, she shared, and that was absolutely fantastic. That was such a great experience for me, and I felt like someone truly understood what it was like and what I was going through. And you also go to two different sessions. I went to one called Sharing Your Story and The Armor of God, which were both truly amazing, and I loved both of them.
What was the most significant thing that you learned during orientation?
It might not be the most significant, but it's something that I didn't know before. It was like the cycle of poverty. There's the person who is the one who is in poverty, and they have relations with different people, like the community, the society, and God. And when those relationships get broken, then it becomes poverty depending and relying on the stereotypes that are put on those people. And so it's kind of an unbreakable cycle.
I'd say the most valuable thing I learned during orientation was actually about myself, and it was how I really needed to just spend more time just sitting in God's presence and just sitting with His Word. And that was something that we got to do every day. So that was a really valuable lesson for me to learn, that I just needed to spend time sitting in God's presence.
I learned that poverty isn't just not having a home. It's a lack of, like what Cynthia said, a lack of resources, a lack of family, a lack of love, and just not having those creates the sense of poverty.
Is there one specific person that you can remember meeting during orientation that impacted you most?
So during the poverty workshop thing that we went to, there was a man, he was homeless, his name was Kim, and he came and talked to us about his story, how he was born in Winnipeg, and then he was in a bad family situation, and so this couple, the pastor from Texas, they adopted him and he went to Texas, and he didn't like living there because he felt like he lost his roots from Winnipeg and stuff. So he ran away kind of, and he hitchhiked all the way back to Manitoba from Texas. And that was kind of cool to hear about.
So on the Friday, I went on the gangs track. And so that took place in the Inner City Youth Alive building. And in the afternoon there, they brought in someone named Julian, who was actually a former gang leader. He is just like 8 months out of the street, and he's just had some amazing stories. This was his first time really sharing his testimony in a place like that, sharing just 20 to 20 people just about his life. And he had some amazing stories. He really was a silent leader, and he had a lot of impact in that community. And now that he was a Christian, he had a lot of impact in that community still. So it was really cool to hear his stories and his transformation.
For me, it wasn't really the people that I met that made a big impact. It was more, I guess, the people that I saw and heard speak to each other a little bit. On the poverty track, at some point we were sent out to go walk around the North End and just kind of see what it was all like out there. And also we had to go find somewhere to eat for lunch, or like sit down to eat our lunch. And while we were walking past a park, we saw a little girl. She was digging through the garbage, and a man had come up to her, and his name was Simon, from what I understood. And she's like, "Hey, Simon." And they started talking, and he asked her what she was doing, and she said she was looking for pop can tabs to get a wheelchair for a little boy that she knew. And so I really felt the sense of community and love in the North End, which is not something you feel all the time being in Winnipeg, that I've experienced.
That's really cool. How did you see God at work in preparing your team for their assignments throughout the orientation weekend?
So we have this thing in the evening called team time. After session, we all, just as a team, we have snack and we talk together. We do this thing called Sparkle Farkle, where we say the best thing about our day and the worst thing about our day. And then usually we have a question to go along with it. And so we asked how we could grow as a team to make us better during the ministry week. And so we kind of just went around and we decided that we were going to break away from our cliques and stuff and just bond together, and we deeply accomplished that.
Yeah, going into SOAR, it was very much so people were in groups and we didn't all know each other, and we were all just wondering how this would work. We weren't quite sure. And orientation was the time where, well, you spend a lot of time together, and we slowly really melded as a team. And by Monday, when we started ministry, God was really using us all as one team rather than as individuals.
I can definitely say that I did not talk to everybody on my team at school leading up to SOAR. So I, for myself, it was really hard to get into that. But like during team time, we talked about, what we could do to like grow as a team. And we agreed that we wanted to, like Cynthia said, to continue to get to know each other. And one big thing is we were going to put our phones down and talk to each other, actually, which is really hard for teenagers. I understand that. I do that. It's hard. And it was really interesting because we had a girl on our team who is not from our school. It was a friend of ours. It was his girlfriend. And so it was really fun to get to know her, too. And, like, so, yeah, it's just the bonds we formed, which helped us love and show love to the kids, which is really cool.
So the next thing we want to talk about is Ministry Week. And so I'm going to ask you guys, what is Ministry Week? And then I'll have how is it structured? And yeah.
So each of the teams at SOAR, usually they're in youth groups. They each get assigned to a place in Winnipeg to help and stuff over the week. And we went to IRCOM, which stands for Immigrant and Refugee Community Organization of Manitoba. And so it's where the refugees come over the border and then they're sent to this building. There's actually two buildings, and we were assigned to the Isabel location. and they get to live there for up to 3 years, and they get taught how to speak English, how to get jobs and do job interviews and manage their finances and stuff. And the kids do this after school program, and so that's what we were helping them with, because they're not sure what to do with the kids over spring break, so we go and help them and do fun activities with them.
So we started on Monday when we went and we just met the kids and we played games with them. They loved soccer and they loved basketball, and we did crafts with them and we just played games inside and we really just got to connect with them. And on Tuesday we went to a place called Kid City. It was chaos. It was a big indoor jungle gym and it was absolutely nuts and it was a really good time. And on Wednesday we had the carnival. So we brought a bunch of kids out into the William White Carnival there, and then we just played games with them. They were running around, and they were also really having a good time. And then on the Thursday, we went swimming. We took the kids swimming, which isn't something they get to do every day, so that was really cool to be able to do that with them.
And when we got there, or we leave Westwood, which is our home-based church, at around 11 or 10 or 11-ish, and then we go and we make sandwiches for the kids, and then they would come at noon, I think, around noon. They would come, and then they would get sandwiches, juice boxes. They could only have one juice box. Some had five, so that's okay. Carrots, some cookies, yeah, anything a kid loves. It was great to always see that. And, yeah, Monday we just kind of sat around with them. We got to know them, and a lot of, like, those of us that went last year, we were, like, we're super excited because all of our little kids from last year came running up to us and gave us big hugs, which was super sweet, and it made me so happy. And what else did we do? Oh, they absolutely love to color on us. I was covered in marker for 10 solid days, pretty much, or for, I guess, five. Yeah, that was great. So if you ever want to know what it's like to get a tattoo, go to ERCOM. They will give you a whole sleeve if you want.
Fortunately, those markers don't pierce the skin, probably, most of the time. Did you have a ministry host, a person that was kind of your contact at ERCOM? Can you tell me about them, or tell us about them?
Her name was Debbie. She was pretty awesome. She really rounds those kids up. Like, if they are being loud, she's like, stop being loud. She's great. We loved her. Yeah. I don't know. There's not really much to say about her. She's just an all-around great person.
See, Debbie is this kind of person who, in that position, usually it's just a job, and so you just run the thing, and that's what you do. But she had a connection with each and every one of the kids, and she loved them. It was so great.
Awesome. How did you notice God at work throughout Ministry Week in your team?
So at first, the new kids, the ones that we hadn't seen last year, are really, really shy, and so they don't really talk to us. But as it goes on, actually usually by the end of the first day, they're telling us how much they love us. Like, they give us these little notes and they write on our arms, like, I love you, and then they sign their name, and it's really sweet. And so God is just showing us that we can connect with these kids and stuff.
Yeah, by like the second day, everybody had connections with all the kids, and they were just like having a good time with them and getting to know them. So that was really cool just to see the team work that way. And everyone just went headfirst into the ministry, and God can use that as soon as you're willing to dive in.
I saw God kind of, there was this one little boy, I think his name was Alconqua. Yeah, super cute little boy. He was a very permanently sad little boy, but he was absolutely adorable. There was one girl on our team, her name was Marin, and she established the hugest connection with him. She spoke to him in a way that none of us could. Like, he didn't say much, she didn't say much, but they had this connection that was so fantastic, and it was so big that just the love that she poured out to him was beautiful.
What did you personally learn about God throughout Ministry Week?
Just wait. I learned from God that he wants relationship with everyone, because usually when you go into a space like that, especially with a bunch of new people, you kind of seclude yourself and you don't open up, but this kind of forced us to. And so we found relationship with a lot of people, and even with our team, because I didn't know a lot of the people on my team because most of them were new, and I don't talk to people in school who I don't know, which is a problem. And so I got to see them with these kids, and it's like right into their personality when you see them with the kids. It's great. You just need to take time and learn to trust people with the relationship you can give them.
I think I just learned a little bit about God's heart on Ministry Week, about how God wants just to show that compassion to each and every kid. And as they, like, run around and have a good time, that's just, like, it gives God joy, I think. And so I just learned a bit about God's compassion for every child there.
I learned that God really loves it when we're open with each other, because on SOAR, you see each other at your worst, you see each other at your best, you see each other sicker than they've ever probably been sick in their life, as you get the SOAR plague. It's affected all of us. It's pretty bad. The sore plague, you get a sore throat, you just about lose your voice. One girl on our team, she has a double ear infection, a throat infection, and a sinus infection. Lung infection, yeah. So she got it bad. Yeah, most of us are fine. You really have to be open with each other on sore, and you really have to learn to trust each other, because sore is a really hard 10 days, and it's very tough and it's very challenging, but at the end of it all, it's so rewarding, and you just feel so loved by people you don't even know. Honestly, I grew connections with people on different teams, which was really fun.
There's something really challenging but also really rewarding about living in community with people for a 10-day period like that. It's short enough that you probably don't kill each other, and long enough that you see a little bit of each other's true colors coming through. And it's amazing, I think, in those experiences to see how God works within that and gives us the grace that we need for each other and the patience that we need for each other. We all have moments, but you can work through those as well. Thanks for sharing about that, guys. One more question about Ministry Week. How did you see God at work in the SOAR community as a whole throughout Ministry Week?
Well, I really saw God, in sessions was one really big one where the entire community gets together and we all just worship, and it's just amazing. And even outside of sessions, everyone is so willing to just encourage each other. Encouragement notes were really cool with the team, and they were really lifted you up when you were down, and everyone was so willing to pray for each other, and it was just so evident that God was in the team.
We did this thing after every day, during session. The main people there, they would bring the mic around and say, what was the question? Where have you seen God today? And they would ask like a whole bunch of different people all the time. And that was always really cool to see the different places that everybody saw God. Just like the bonding between the other teams. You did a lot of bonding while waiting for meals, because sometimes you had to wait a really long time. And that was okay, because you really got to know other people, which was really fun too. Oh, yeah, we also played a lot of games with each other, like as our team. We played this weird animal game, which was really intense, and it was really fun. And we also taught that to our SOAR kids, and they loved it too. Yeah.
You'll have to ask them what this weird animal game is sometime, and maybe you could play it with them. That'd be great. I don't know what it is either. There's something also important about realizing that a community like that, doing SOAR Heartland, is a special experience. It's something different, and it's hard to understand if you've never been a part of it, which is why for the last couple of years when we haven't had a team from BMC going specifically, I've really tried to get a couple of the youth to go along for the carnival or the festival as well. And so we did that this year. We took a few of the junior highs and high schoolers on Wednesday to help out with the carnival. And so we went into Winnipeg and we got together. We played while we were holding, sorry, my brain. What they were doing is they were doing games, carnival games for the kids, where they would set up kind of like a beanbag toss or a ring toss or things like that, and they'd be giving the kids candy for doing the ring toss, whether they were good at it or not. And something that I'm amazed to see every time that I go is kids, I mean youth like these young people, they go to SOAR and they're put in charge of two or three young kids that aren't their own kids, and they watch over them, they take care of them, and they show them Jesus' love in ways that, as a parent looking from the inside, from the outside in this time, it just really warms my heart that people will take an interest in your kids and take them around and play games with them for a day and treat them with such love and kindness. It's amazing. And so I just love being a part of that. I love bringing youth to be a part of that, even if they don't maybe understand it at first if they're in grade 7 or 8. But just getting them to know that this is an important thing, that we show love through having fun together. That's really important. That's one of my favorite things about our church retreat. One of the things that we do as a church is that we have fun together, and that's important for all our relationships. So in debriefing, we talk a bit about, I'm sure you guys had some time. It's the last, kind of the last day and a half, 2 days that they have there that they do some debrief time. And they talk about what's going to happen when you go home. How are you going to transition some of these things that God has done in you? And so I've got a couple of questions for them, but I want to also encourage you as a congregation, those that you know here, if you're in close relationship with them, or if you see them regularly, or if you see them even once a Sunday, like, ask them about how things are going since SOAR. What has God been doing in you since then? And ask your own kids, if you're a parent, ask them, where have you seen God today? I think that's a great question that we need to ask each other more regularly. Where have you seen God today or this week? Because it helps us to see that God is at work and to be mindful of that even amidst all the everyday things. So what is going to be the hardest thing for you going back to normal life?
It's since SOAR is kind of focused on God during sessions and stuff, we pretty much, well, not forced, but we have to go to sessions every day, and so we're forced to be open to God all the time. It's like a church service, two of them every day. And so one of the hardest things is having to consciously choose to follow God and see him in everyday life, like we have to during SOAR.
As we go back and return into a normal routine, it's often hard to just spend time away and just with God and alone. It's easy to fall back into a different routine or a normal routine where we don't have like two sessions a day and some solo time, or where it's a very intentional time with God. So I think that's a very important thing, is to intentionally set aside time for solo time.
I think going back to not being around a bajillion people 24/7, you definitely, I mean, after SOAR, I usually spend a lot of time by myself, just reflecting what I did, what I experienced, what I saw, and that can be really rough sometimes. So yeah, just going back and having to sometimes be alone and also needing the alone time is very beneficial for me. I don't know about others.
Being alone is it's good, but it's rough.
It does wonders when you really need it.
A two-part question. Is there something that you feel like God is calling you to do as a response to what you experienced on SOAR? And how can we as a church community support you in that?
I definitely think that I want, because for the poverty track, we went to Inner City Youth Alive. We spent most of our day there. I definitely would love to go back there and find a way to serve there. I have developed a huge heart for that organization and all the things they've done
for the north end of Winnipeg. So if I could, if I could go back there and find some sort of way to be involved, I would love to do that.
I think something, I guess, I sort of felt called to coming back is just using gifts to keep on serving. It's important to keep on soaking in, but also to pour out. So I think just for me, it's just playing music, and the church does offer opportunities for that. So that's a really great opportunity for me to keep on serving.
Right on, thanks. As a church, we want to support each other, not just these three young people who are on SOAR, but everybody. And so I just want to encourage you guys, as you're thinking about people who are on SOAR this spring break and others as well, let's be thinking about ways that we can support each other, we can encourage each other. Prayer is huge. We've been doing a study on prayer through our Young Adults Sunday School class lately, and one of the things that that we talked about this morning was the reality that we need to pray specifically and to pray strategically. And so the reality is that there are things going on in people's lives, and sometimes we hear about them, sometimes we don't. But often we want to pray a generic prayer because maybe we want to protect God. Because, you know, if we pray this prayer, then that puts God on the spot because maybe somebody will recognize that God didn't answer their prayer and I prayed about it, so what's going to happen? But we need to realize that God's big. He can handle it. He can protect himself, and he can do what he wants to do. And so we need to be able to be willing to take risks in praying for each other and praying specifically about things if we know what they are. So let's pray specifically for Shania, that she'd have an opportunity to serve where she wants to. And for Josh, that he would have time and opportunity to use his gifts, but also to spend with God, even though things are busy. And for Cynthia, in whatever is going on in her head, that she's not quite sure how to share it. Because I'm sure that God is calling each of us to something every day, whether we realize it or can verbalize it or not. So thank you so much for your support, church, for praying for them throughout SOAR, and that you'll continue to do that. I have one more question for you, and then you guys are off the hook. Is there anything else on your heart that God wants you to share with BMC this morning? If not, that's okay too.
I personally think that you all should somehow get involved with SOAR. I don't know what you all could do, but SOAR is the coolest place ever, and everybody loves you no matter what. Even if you do something embarrassing, they will still love you. We had lots of embarrassing moments. If you want to hear about some funny bathroom stories, you can all ask any of us. We have lots of funny bathroom stories. And you feel the sense of community, and just ways you can get involved with SOAR is awesome. I really hope I can go back to SOAR next year and somehow get involved.
I guess something that I really learned on debrief is the way they start to look at SOAR on debrief is that the entire time, the entire 10 days is really an orientation, and this is the ministry. And so learning to just to continue to serve and pour out in the middle of everyday life is something, I guess, that I definitely learned, and I think it's really important.
Thank you so much. God has been faithful. God has been good. He will continue to be faithful, and he will continue to be good. And my challenge to you, congregation, to church, is to reflect Jesus in your life, to reflect on the things going on in your life. Recognize where God is at work in your life and in the lives of those around you. And where are the times and the places that you can share that with others? Think about those things, because the reality is that as we brought this altar here, that's kind of a visual just to think about. We want to build an altar as praise to God. We want to build remembrance of what he has done and who he is. Jake talked about it last week, that we need to be a testifying church, or 2 weeks ago, and last week we celebrated Jesus. And so not only is the resurrection, Jesus' death and resurrection, an important thing for us to remember and to share, but also the things that he is currently or has done in our lives in the past. And it's great to share those stories. So continue to do that. I'm just going to call up Tyson for the closing song. Tyson, Josh.
Yeah, thanks for you guys for sharing, Joshua, and Shana and Cynthia. And I invite you to stand as we sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. Great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. Here was my sin that held Him there until it was a dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. This I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Bow with me for the benediction. God, let Your goodness shine on us as we reflect Your Son to the world this week. Creator God, let us see Your hand at work in our lives and also in the lives of those around us. And let us glorify You through remembering what You have done and sharing it with others. Amen. Go in peace.